Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Langer at Holy Lands I-70 Football Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jordan. I'm here with my co-host, Dante.
Hey, man. How's it going, man?
It's another day. Another day, another dollar. But I'm not really getting no money because betting sucks.
Oh, man. It'd be nice to hit these. But that's the whole game of betting. It's definitely a risk.
I don't know why people do it.
I'm
telling you.
It's crazy because, like, I don't get why people do sports betting, but I will go to a casino and play blackjack.
Yeah, is blackjack 21?
Yeah.
I play that. I don't know that I'd win any money, but I play that. Sports betting's crazy. I don't like losing money. Nope. As soon as these free bets are done, they're going to see me, like, once every 2 or 3 months. Because if I'm not making no money on the free bets, I'm definitely not making no money on no real bets.
I'm not going to lie to you. I probably won't bet ever again after the Super Bowl. Because I'm better with football than I am with basketball, even though, like, with basketball, I do like little stuff and then get a few hundred dollars. That's where it's at with basketball. But honestly, I think after the Super Bowl, you might not ever see me do it again unless somebody got free money and just want me to help.
Yeah, I might do it here or there because just with college football specifically, there are just some like really, really, really stupid things that it's like, come on now.
Yeah.
Like this is gonna happen. Like they'd be like Ohio State plus 20 over Rutgers, and it's like they're gonna beat them by 35. Like I take me a little $30. Like you know that'll right. Give me a little something.
That's but fair.
I'm not gonna do it often because once it's for my real money, I can't do it because I'd be stressing, and it's not fun. I've seen people talk about it makes the game funner. No, it doesn't.
As long because... as the money's free, as long as it's not your money, then I can see. People are talking about, but as soon as it's mine,
it definitely, in my opinion, don't make the game funner. I had Miles Sanders needing a touchdown, and they gave the ball to Boston Scott.
Yeah,
I don't know who the fuck Boston Scott is. You think that was fun for me?
Nah, I had him going under 75 rushing yards. Dude got 90. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like this it's not.
Yeah.
If you're having fun, you're a sick person, respectfully.
As long as I'm having a little bit of fun just because it's free money. As soon as there's no
well,
money,
yeah, free money, yeah, but
I'm not having fun anymore.
I don't think it makes the games fun to watch.
Nah.
Because like when they like it just it's because okay so like for example, they only not everyone right Kelce different places whatever
right.
But like most of these teams don't even think about their tight end, and then as soon as they get to the playoffs, everybody using their tight ends.
Right, Dalton Schultz has three touchdowns in the past two games.
Like, come on, bro, are you fucking? And then, but if you bet him next week, he's not gonna touch the ball.
He might get two catches for like 6 points.
He's not gonna touch the ball, bro. Yeah. So it's just I'm not having fun. I'm having fun with free money. I don't think it makes watching the games fun.
Nah.
Because it's just like as soon as they get into the red zone and it's like, oh, this is easy for this player, this is easy for that player, they just don't do it. So it's crazy. Anyway, y'all are not here for our betting advice. Dude, if you're taking betting advice from me,
yeah,
you're definitely a sick individual.
Always, if you're gonna bet basketball, I'll tell you that, always bet on like the superstar. Probably get over 10 points. Like, you're probably
good. You can bet on that?
Oh, yeah. I do same day parlays, so I make my own leg.
Hold on. Let me go bet LeBron to get 10 points right now. That's got to be the easiest bet in history.
And the thing
do you make any money off of that?
If you stack them, if you stack other bets with it. So, like, you could do LeBron gets over, you could do LeBron gets 10 plus, and then you could do 15 plus. Then you'd be like, he'll get 6 rebounds and probably like 4 assists. So, and then you could do a few more people with it. So now you just did like 15 bets. Please, no one, if you got a problem, don't bet. I'm just trying to help him out. But you could win like $200-$300 on it.
Not you're doing like 15 leg parlay. Okay.
Yeah, hold 15 on. Leg and I put like $50.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Okay, this one's not that bad. I'm definitely not going to do it because who the fuck is Anthony Simmons? And I know
Simmons,
who he is, but he's not putting up 20.
He might. He's averaging 22.
This has LeBron 30, Lillard 30, Nurkic 15, Jeremy Grant 20, Anthony Simmons 20.
I'm not mad at any of those. I'm not mad at Lillard getting 30 or LeBron getting 30 because neither of these teams play defense well. So it's probably going to happen. And since everybody's dropping 40 like it's like they Oprah, like the NBA just Oprah, might as well.
It's hilarious. They don't even have LeBron in the score 20.
Yeah, which is crazy because it's like he's been on a tear, but then there's a game where he'll drop only 18, and now you're pissed.
So you can't bet LeBron unless you bet 30 plus.
Looks like it.
That's wild. All right, let's hold on. No, they got him at 25. But even still, it's -900. They just expect. I mean, he is averaging 27 and has for his entire career. But that's booty.
That's why you could get like. That's why it's not like getting a few thousand dollars if it happens.
Yeah. I might
see like anyway. What'll get you probably those numbers would be like in the Nets Golden State game, you'd be like Nick Claxton's going to score 30. You like, and if he does it, well.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, I'm not even gonna get into basketball. Basketball is a sick man sport.
Oh, okay.
like, I feel like I could bet football. I'm not like, come on, like, cause see, that's what makes me mad. Cause you can bet Patrick Mahomes 1.5 touchdowns.
Yeah,
but he averaged like 3. But I can't bet LeBron +15.
Yeah,
like, see, it's just not equaling up. Like the math. The things that you like, you can bet Patrick Mahomes 250
really
yards.
To
like,
throw a pig.
Yeah, but like Patrick Mahomes is going to throw for 250. Nah, he almost threw for 250 and he missed like a quarter and a half, and the rest of the game was on a bum ankle.
Yeah.
So why can I bet that, but I can't bet LeBron 15 or 20 and make
20
at
the least? Yeah, because
that's
be like,
crazy.
I'd be mad if you score 29. And it'd be because he missed free throws or some shit. So like,
yeah, this is why I can't do it. I'm about to bet Anthony Davis over under to return.
See, those are see now those are funny bets. Like if I could bet if Brett Maher misses the next extra point, like
yeah, I would absolutely. I'd have made some money because I definitely would have bet that he did.
It's probably the You probably want to bet the over. They going for it on 4th and 5. Let me get off of this game.
All right, man. Whatever. Let's talk football as like literally none of my bet. Oh no, that's not true. One of my bets going ahead. I'm gonna get $45.
See, that's not bad.
Michael Gallup. 50 yards, I thought was going to be a thing because he always plays big in the playoffs. He has zero.
Yeah.
I don't mean he's not going to catch a bomb, but he literally has 0 yards.
Yeah, I didn't even decide to put him in one in a parlay. I was like, I'm not even going to touch Michael Gallup. I barely touched the receivers at all. Like, it was more like, I'm going to do the under. I'm doing the under on the receivers because, like, Dak's going to be terrible because he had a good game. And Brock Purdy's a rookie who was the last pick in the draft. So
I didn't touch Brock. Like
I did the under.
That's actually pretty smart.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart. I wasn't touching Dak to save my life.
If he don't throw a touchdown, that still works for me. Because that's under.
That is fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. So news. Into the podcast we go.
Right.
There wasn't really any like Big Ten news.
I don't know.
Which is not like
nobody a good sent me something. Or a
bad thing. Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't really any Big Ten news, which is fine. I'm not too mad at that. But what that does mean is this segment's gonna be quick and we get stuck on this segment a lot, so I'm not gonna be mad at that.
Right.
The only news that I have is Ed Reed contract was not ratified at Bethune-Cookman. And that was an interesting little saga because, did you see that?
Yeah, you had to see that. I saw it. I didn't decide to watch the videos because it was too long for me. Like, if it's videos on Twitter that are 7 minutes long, I'm not.
What was 7 minutes? And someone must have combined them or something. Yeah, I watched two videos. Yeah,
they put the whole meeting he had with his team, even when Prime came on live and stuff, and they talked, like, they did the whole thing.
Oh, I didn't watch that one. I wasn't watching that one. I watched a much shorter one. And I'll just say this, like, I don't want to get into this too much because we kind of talked about it before, but the thing that I was saying when I was talking about it in the house is essentially this. As an HBCU, you can't want these people who have this celebrity and who are going to bring this notoriety to your school and who's going to do all of these supposed good things. Because half the time, you probably don't even care if they win. You just want them because they're a Hall of Famer, because they've never coached before.
Right.
You can't have them come in, especially Deion, because everyone knows Deion follows, a camera follows Deion.
Right.
You can't have them come in if your house is not in order. Now, I don't mean in order as in you have to be at the Ohio State P5 level, this, that, and the third. Because at the end of the day, I saw this tweet, and that's true. They're like, people got to remember, Division II programs that are non-HBCUs have similar issues.
Yes, they do.
That is just the level of the school, the level of the sport, and the money that gets brought in. But there are certain things that you absolutely have to have in order if you're going to bring in these celebrity types, because you're asking for extra eyeballs and your house is not in order.
Yeah.
Now, Ed Reed is a grown-ass man. Should he have went to social media? No. He's a grown-ass man. He should have handled it differently. But what he was talking about, was that an issue? Absolutely not. How do you hire someone and not clean the office? And there's trash all throughout the building and on the front lawn and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's not, we're not Ohio State. We're not a PWI. That's just as basic as it comes. You don't get a job anywhere where they're giving you an office and a space and the office not clean. I've had jobs. I've had internships.
Yeah.
Where they gave me an office and I got a couple free polos and clothes or whatever, and they put a nice mug and spent money on to have my office ready and to have some things for me when I got there. Internships when I was in college. And so you like that's just like little things. Like, what are you talking about? Like, and that's the problem with these things. It's like,
is it kind of like you can tell they don't really care for that, for the football program?
And not even just a football program, that's bare minimum.
Yeah.
Like, it don't matter who you hire, football, professor, teacher, whatever, how, and they can't be. because if there's trash everywhere in the building, outside the building, all this other kind of stuff. And it's just like, they're very serious issues, right? When we come to PWI versus HBCUs, when we talk about government funding and how schools are funded and where the money's going and this kind of that kind of stuff. But there's something that I think my fiance said. I don't like saying her name on this podcast. You obviously know who she is. But it's weird to say my fiance to you, but I'm not talking to you for real. So it's not that weird. And basically she was just like, there's this thing in the Black community where we don't talk about Black issues because we don't talk about Black issues in mixed company. And that's fine, I guess.
But it still has to be talked about.
But it still has to be talked about. And when you're bringing in these outside people because you want to be like Power 5, you want to be like PWI,
you want that same attention. Stuff, you want the attention.
You're inviting mixed company.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, all these HBCU schools had football coaches before. So there are coaches that are willing to coach that job with the lack of finances, the lack of resources, not clean offices, broke down buildings, all of that kind of stuff. I'm not saying positively or negatively. There are people who are willing to do that, just like there are people who are willing to do that at Division I, Division II, Division III level schools. I've toured Division III level schools. I've been like, Canton is almost all Division III level schools. For people who really, really follow football, y'all know who Mount Union is.
Yep.
They don't have shiny facilities. They don't have nice dorms.
It's a pretty decent.
Their facilities may be decent because of all the championships. But in general, like as a school and as a kind of thing, it ain't that great. Yeah. So.
We had football camps there in high school.
Yeah, everyone does. But it's just like Mount Union is actually a bad example because they win so much that they can't afford some of the things.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Even still,
Marshall,
right? Marshall, and people aren't going to get this because they're not from Northeast Ohio. But Malone,
Walsh,
of those type of schools, like. Notre Dame College.
I was going to say Notre Dame College.
Always winning in Division II level. They're a very, very good program. We both know. Well, you probably do, but I for sure know people who played there.
I know people,
especially from being from Cleveland and stuff like that. So, but these schools, they deal with these similar issues. But, you're bringing in these celebrity coaches. And you're not doing it because you think Ed Reed is a good coach. What has he done to prove that? You're passing up good coaches who are okay with where you're at.
You're truly just doing it.
Ed Reed.
You're just doing it to get TV money.
And to get the popularity and hoping that he can get the recruits just like Deion and things like that. And then I don't have an issue with that. But again, you can't do that and your house not be in order.
Right.
So Ed Reed, as an adult, as a grown man, was wrong for taking it to social media.
How long was Ed Reed there?
Well, I don't know. It wasn't long. It was like a month or two. It was announced in like December. They never officially made his contract official.
Oh.
And that's one of the other things he's saying. He's like, I'm working and my contract's not even official yet.
Oh, yeah. They wilding. That's just bad business. It's just just simple stuff. That's simple stuff, like you said.
And then you have these people who are going to be like, oh, well, Ed Reed, Deion Sanders, they don't care about HBCUs. They're just trying to make us look bad. It's like, y'all are making yourself look bad.
Like, I can't make you look bad if you're having me work while I'm probably not getting paid because my contract's not final.
And another thing, this isn't even about the football program. This is just things in general. And again, this is not a sole HBCU issues.
Nope.
I've been to, these are only schools in Ohio, so if you don't understand, I apologize. But in Pennsylvania, I've been to Allegheny College. I've been to Wittenberg. I've been to Wabash and all of these kind of
Heidelberg.
Places. Their dorms suck. Mm-hmm. Their facilities suck. Their stadiums suck. Like, it's not just the HBCU thing. It's that level of football.
Tulsa. Not Tulsa, Tiffin, stuff like that.
Tiffin, yeah. I mean, I freaking worked at Kent State for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Literally,
and that's Division
One. There are high schools that have better stadiums than Kent State.
Better facilities, all that. Yep.
Literally, so Kent State, up until the year before I graduated, had AstroTurf in their field house.
Ugh.
Do you know how old AstroTurf? Nobody uses AstroTurf.
It's literally illegal in the NFL.
So it's just like, these are not just issues at HBCUs, but they are issues and you have to take care of them, especially if you're doing this, we're just as good as everybody else. And it's just like, honestly, y'all could just accept the level that you're at. And it's not that, again, that's not even HBCU specific. Not everyone can be App State, where they start as a smaller school, win, and go up to another level and be successful. That, more times than not, that's not successful. So just be where you at. Like, that's fine. But, like, in a non-football thing, we were talking about, like, Howard. Howard brags, because it's true, they produce the most black doctors. Okay. Howard also has crazy alumni from their theater program. Chadwick Boseman. I'm not good with people's names. I shouldn't have brought this up.
Nope.
My fiance knows them a lot better than I do. But either way, there are a lot. Regina George, maybe. I don't know. There are a lot of famous black actors.
What's her name? Viola Davis, I think.
Yeah. There are a lot of successful black actors who went to Howard. And obviously other places too. But we're just going to talk about those two. So you have doctors obviously make money. Actors to the level of Chadwick Boseman and all these other kind of stuff make money. They give back, and I know they give back because you put their names on buildings and things like that. Right. But you know where you didn't put that money?
Into the sports program.
In the dorms. No, I'm not even talking about sports.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. You're right. You didn't put it into the dorms.
So your students are protesting because they're living with roaches and not running water and all of these health violations.
Right.
Because you want to look good on the outside. You want to have a fancy building with someone's name on it and these other kind of things.
I forgot all about that.
You want to award.
Ceilings falling down, stuff like
that. Yeah, like you want to award doctorates to people and all this other kind of stuff and have guest speakers and all of that's great. Every college does that. But you ain't take none of that money put into your dorms. So you only care about what you care about. And again, I'm going to keep saying it before someone gets offended. These are not only HBCUs issues, but we're talking about HBCUs now. And when you put yourself in the limelight, you deserve to be criticized.
Right.
Because you put yourself out there. Because you wanted to be seen in a light that you weren't ready for.
You get what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for.
Literally. So, but, I don't know, man. I think it sucks because I only saw a minute, right? But I think Ed Reed did want that job. And I think that... Who knows if he would be a good coach? But I think he genuinely cared about the kids and wanted to do better by them. And no, it wasn't handled right. But how do you handle that situation? He was in a bad situation. They did not do anything, and the month and a half he had that job, they didn't do a single thing right by him.
Yeah, that's nuts.
So it's just
to be able to end to tarnish a relationship you just started within a
that's
month
crazy.
Time,
that's
really
crazy.
Impressive.
That's crazy, and it's just gonna make people, and it's just gonna
it's gonna make coaches even more weary to go there.
And it's going to do this stupid, PWI versus HBCU debate, what's better, and this, that, and all this other kind of stupid stuff, where the root of the issue is never actually being addressed. And at the end of the day, there are people who go to these schools and who work at these schools and who do these things at the school who are corrupt. Not everyone. Not all of them. But we've heard, we heard about the Howard dude that was in financial aid, that was stealing money and walking around and all this other kind of stuff. Like, you hear about schools losing accreditation because of different things that.
And then, I know people are going to be like, well, it's happening to people in PWIs. That's not an excuse. It's really not. You should be excused for being terrible because other schools are being terrible. No, everybody no one should be terrible.
Right. And we are two black people. I can't speak on a PWI. I can't attend or didn't know to, or that's not a part of the culture or anything like that.
Right.
But that's literally what people do when they say, why is R. Kelly in jail? that Howard, whatever the hell his name is, didn't go to jail. He got off. Why are we talking about this black? Why are we talking about Trey Songz who beats women? Cause there's this white actor who beats women.
Because like, so, if you're only bringing that up to say like they should be in jail as well, then fine, that's fine. But if you're saying because that person got off, why? Because if you're saying if you want consistency where everyone goes to jail, fine. But if you're saying like let's keep it consistent, and it's like just because that dude went to jail, this dude shouldn't go to jail. You're just speaking like you're just being dumb. At that point.
Yeah,
you're just speaking
The consistency they want is nobody's held accountable instead of everyone's held accountable.
Because if you say that, if that's what you want, like everyone's held accountable, then yeah, you're right. That person should have went to jail just like.
And also, you should want better for yourself and your community, right? Okay. Like I can sit here if I wanted to do the research, which I don't, and I won't. If I wanted to do the research, I'm sure I could find D2 and D3 colleges that are PWIs that are in just as big, at just the same or worse situations as HBCUs or Bethune-Cookman or whatever. But I don't. But what I do want is better for these schools because they are for the black community.
Yeah.
So me or someone, and it's really
they don't even offer a lot of programs.
Yeah. And it's and me, I'm using the royal me because like me personally, I don't really care that much. Like I'm not like looking at all these things and doing this and doing that. Like I have other things to do. But in general, the royal me or the royal we or whatever as a community, I want better for these schools because they serve our community. And because
our community. And I think schooling is a scam anyway, at least in a sense. Like, certain things, yeah, like, you should definitely be going to school if you want to be a doctor or a lawyer and stuff like that. But, like, certain stuff, school's a scam. To be a teacher, be a teacher. Like, you should go to school.
That's a conversation for another day. Either way.
So like, I don't care if it's an HBCU or a PWI. You're probably scamming.
Just a little bit.
I've seen the price of books. You niggas are scamming. Like,
Jerry Rice, legend. Goat. Anyway, so yeah, that situation just kind of sucks. I think it sucks for everyone involved, and it's just
because now who do you hire? Who's gonna take on that job? Well, somebody will, but like,
yeah, but like, it's just it's just bad. And the other thing is like, because he did handle it wrong, like who's gonna hire Ed Reed again?
Yeah, you know. And then it's like they can if they mend it now, that's gonna look weird. Like they'll probably come out and have a talk and press conference about the mending the relationship, but if they do,
I don't think anyone that's there is mature enough.
Oh hell no!
From the way that it was, the way it's happened so far, I don't think it's mature enough for them to have a press conference. Because like they didn't have a press conference when they didn't maintain his contract. So,
fair enough.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. NFL playoffs. Let's get through this quick. We didn't mention this at the beginning of the show. We mentioned it last week. This show is the beginning of our tiers. This is the beginning of us reviewing the season. We are going to flip what we normally do. We normally start with the worst teams and go to the best. We're going to go from the top down because, as we said before, we want this show to get better in every offseason. And do we really want to start January in 2023 talking about Northwestern? We don't. You don't want to listen to that. So we're going to flip it. And unlike some years, there's actually a lot of interesting things at the top to talk about from this past season. And I think this offseason, we're going to talk about the big teams more than we typically do because it's there's a lot more going on with all of them than normal, i.e., Ohio State and Penn State both having new quarterbacks coming in and Wisconsin having a new coach. Like, that's interesting. So we're going to talk about them. Probably not. I mean, not a whole lot. Cause you know, we know that Dante doesn't love to talk about Ohio State, but we'll talk about them more than we normally do because they're actually interesting this offseason.
That's funny. I never said I don't like talking about them.
Yes, you have.
They're so predictable, man. They have the same they which is nothing wrong with that, but it's like I would like if we had a SEC podcast, I wouldn't talk about Alabama.
No, absolutely not. Or Georgia.
No, like, what's the point? We understand what their expectations are and who they are. Like,
yeah.
What's the point? Yeah.
But, anyway, NFL playoffs, really quickly. Eagles destroyed the Giants.
It was actually kind of sad, too, because I thought the Giants might give a much better effort.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things where, like, the Eagles just turned it on. Like, they were the better team through and through.
Yeah.
Like,
it was a controlled game from start to finish, wasn't it, I believe?
Yeah, it was. And ultimately, the Giants were kind of the Cinderella. I think they did some really good things this year that they can build on next year. Yeah. If they get, I mean, essentially, like, not, okay, they're not, I'm not saying that they're going to be the Bills, right?
Who scored on the 49ers?
Christian.
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying that they're going to be the Bills or anything like that, but we know that this coach did with Josh Allen, right? He did a similar thing with Daniel Jones. He's a very good quarterback friendly coach, offense, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What put Josh Allen over the top? The trade for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
So again, not saying that they're going to be yes, but more what I'm saying is they need to get Stephon Diggs, like a Stephon Diggs, like a yeah. a top.
They also need to fix that offensive line. It's still a little shaky.
Yeah, they definitely have more than one thing to do, but more so what I'm saying is that is kind of the next step for them to continue to be good and for this year not to be a fluke. They need to get a real wide receiver. Because I watch a lot of football, and like I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know who their number one wide receiver is. Because I know it's not who it was supposed to be, and I know it's not Kadarius Toney, who is now on the Chiefs. I know Evan Ingram's pretty good for them. But they have a lot of wide receivers that are making a lot of money that's not doing
I think
a lot of things.
I think somebody wears number 80 who's pretty good for them, but I don't know the names.
Yeah, so
I see they should go after fixing that offensive line first.
Fred Warner.
Before.
Or is that not Fred Warner? Else? Is that the fake Polamalu?
That's his cousin. Palomalu. Yeah, is it? Yeah, like his cousin or his nephew or something like that.
They're related.
Yeah, that's I think hilarious. His last name is Palomalu.
It's not. It's definitely not. But
it's not. Oh, so then no, that is the fake one. That's the dude. Then there's a guy that will be coming into the league soon that is related. Then
okay, got you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, ultimately, like, you know, there's no people don't like more victories than this, that, and the third. But ultimately, a good year for the Giants. Nobody expected them to be in the playoffs. They won a playoff game. It was the Vikings, but, you know, they are still.
The Vikings were what, a 13-win team?
You can't say that and then also say Kirk Cousins in primetime.
So, you know, I mean, you already know how I feel about Kirk Cousins.
Exactly, but still, they beat the Vikings. They won a game. They look like they have their quarterback. I wouldn't be so confident in him to give him the $400 million deal.
Fuck no.
But I would give him another 3 years.
But they just might. I would give him. They just might though.
They're gonna have to.
They might do something stupid. They might overpay him, and it's sad.
So they're gonna have to overpay him.
Yeah, because it's sad because it seems like it's rude to pay quarterbacks what they're definitely worth. And, like, Daniel Jones will never be worth $400 million.
No. He's not. So let me ask you this. And, again, I'd be having to qualify shit with you because you'd be arguing the wrong points.
Fair.
He is not worth this contract.
No.
But because of what they have to pay quarterbacks, it just is what it is. Would you give him 3 years, $120 million?
Oh, that's
not
fine.
All guaranteed, but it's that's
3 years, 120. That's not fine. That's fine. That's fine with me.
That's $40 million a year. This is more than he deserved, but
yeah,
I would give him that.
Listen, I've seen
with like 95 guaranteed or something like that.
Kirk Cousins' contract is bad. So
oh my god, it's terrible.
That's not a bad one because then after two, even in the middle of a year or after 2 years, you could probably trade that. And already had paid.
If he's not, if this year is a fluke and he's like terrible next year, it's like okay,
you can trade him because if you already guaranteed him, you paid it. Boom. So
I would front load the guarantee this year too. Like I'd give him a lot of that in a signing bonus, but
just to be like, here you go, just in case something happens to you, there you go.
So that's what I would give him. But Eagles look good, man.
Yeah, they do. And Jalen Hurts don't look hurt.
No, he doesn't. I'm very happy. I don't know anything about Jalen Hurts.
Two black quarterbacks going against each other for the NFC title, but Dak.
Dak. I'm not gonna say what I want to say on this podcast. anyway, I'm not typically wrong about quarterbacks because I watch a lot of college football, and I especially like I don't, you know, I think some of this is just common sense. I'm glad that I was wrong about Jalen Hurts. And I still don't even think so much that I was wrong as in I didn't know him and I didn't know that he was like freaking maniacal and was going to get better.
I saw Jalen Hurts play. I didn't think he would be good in the league for real.
And that's the point of him being maniacal and like he's like, I'm not going to fail. I'm going to get better. Yeah. And it helps that they have freaking Devontae Smith and AJ Brown and
they got another receiver.
I can't think of his name right now. Miles Sanders is pretty solid. And then I mean literally they had like 70 sacks as a team. They're the first team in NFL history to have four different players with 10 plus sacks. Yeah. Like it is not
They're front forward. They don't pressure they don't throw blitzes. No. It's literally
All of them have 10 plus sacks. So it is not just him. That is a very, very well-built team, which is exactly how they were when Nick Foles won.
Because Nick Foles or Carson Wentz would have won that.
Yeah. You know what's crazy?
Carson Wentz has a Super Bowl?
I mean, Nick Foles played, but yes,
he does. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, it always hits me. Like, Carson Wentz is a Super Bowl winner.
Yeah, for sure. You know what's interesting? The Eagles, I don't know who to compare them to, but the Eagles throughout history are one of the easiest teams per se to just get a bunch of talent and then they do really well and they win and then it just like falls off and
because
does McNabb have a ring?
No, or did they made it to two. I think they made it to two but lost
both. Are you sure he doesn't have one?
Yeah, I'm probably he doesn't have one. I thought with the Brian Eagles.
Dawkins had one.
It's not with the Eagles.
Okay.
Because remember that Nick Foles one was the first one the Eagles have ever won.
But either way, they were really, really good in that era. So, and I mean, so Eagles are NFC, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they're going to destroy the 49ers. I mean, I'm not
buying. I don't know. They actually, the 49ers played them well when they played earlier in the season. And I
think
it was like a one score game.
That's like, fine.
That's
fine. It's the playoffs. They're going to up it. And Brock Purdy don't look like he got it. And I'm not, I was never a big Brock Purdy believer.
If he's able to beat
Dallas, he's good enough.
I don't know, man. He might be good enough. He might be good enough for them to make it to the Super Bowl again.
I think he is, but I think the way the Eagles are playing this year. He's not going to do it.
Yeah. I do think the Eagles lose to whoever they face in the AFC, though.
That would be interesting. Yeah. I don't know, man. I agree. I do think they lose. I think they lose. Because I think that there are still steps that Jalen Hurts needs to take in his development. But what I will say is I don't think this is a one and done. I think that they'll be back. Maybe not immediately, but also...
Because that's hard to say about football for football.
Is the NFC not for the taking, though? I mean, like, all the good quarterbacks in the NFL are in the AFC.
Oh, true.
Especially the young ones, Patrick Mahomes, AFC. Josh Allen, AFC. Freaking Justin Herbert, AFC. Joe Burrow, AFC. Trevor Lawrence, if he's getting there, but he's not in the first four level. But Trevor Lawrence, AFC.
He better than Justin Herbert.
I might actually give you that. AFC. So like all so it's like who is in the NFC? Lamar, AFC. Mm-hmm. Who's in the NFC? Kirk Cousins. Like Justin Fields not there yet. I think the Bears, if they build this right, I think the Bears and Eagles could go on a crazy run because they're gonna have the two best quarterbacks in the NFC.
If the Bears were smart, they would just build their offense the exact same way as the Eagles.
Yeah, for sure. So who else is in the NFC? No, Dak. Okay. Well, I'm concerned about the Cowboys.
Daniel Jones, when you're not really that scared of. You got Aaron Rodgers if he doesn't retire.
He's old. Tom Brady. He's not a winner. Tom Brady looked garbage this year.
Yeah.
Who else? The Saints?
Who?
No. There's no good, like.
Detroit. Sleeper. That's my sleeper for the
end. As a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, say, I like where Detroit's going. So, if Detroit figures it out, you potentially have Detroit, the Bears, and the Eagles for the next 5 years
and San
or so.
Fran. And San Fran.
And, oh, yeah. San Fran's always going to be there. Yeah. But it's possible.
It's an easier road in the NFC.
And Detroit's not fully there yet.
Yeah.
And the Bears are
Chicago. Chicago has a while.
So. It's just the Eagles and the 49ers. So it's not, you can't.
I'll even throw in Cowboys if injuries, like for the other team, sadly.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. I'm not going to believe into the Cowboys when they do it. But yeah, either way.
Something about the Cowboys, always thinking on Cowboys.
Yeah, for sure. Chiefs beat the Jags. Mahomes sprained his ankle.
Too.
Yeah, it's gonna. So, I'm not gonna say it's gonna suck because, like, I could never be a Cincy fan, and it has nothing to do with the Browns or anything like that. It's just like I'm a Colts fan, and I'm moving over to the Bears. It should be the Cincinnati because I'm in Columbus and they're down the street, and I like Joe Burrow, but it just, for some reason, it just doesn't sound right to me. But
I don't care.
Joe Burrow is a winner. He's a winner. He's won everywhere he went. He's a culture changer, and. I hate that it's not going to be full go for both teams.
Yeah.
Because with Mahomes being injured, is Cincy, like, I'm not going to say they will, but, like, is Cincy not just going to win the game? Like, it's more likely they're going to win the game, especially because they kind of have the Chiefs number in the regular season. Like,
yeah.
Even without the injury. So that could be back to back. That could be back to back Super Bowl appearances for Cincy. And I would give them a really good chance against the Eagles, and I would probably predict them to beat the 49ers. The way that their defense...
I don't think they'll beat the 49ers. I just think
what their defense just did to the Bills?
Yeah, but I think Josh... I have the one thing I'll tell you is the two snow games I've seen Josh Allen playing in...
Booty cheeks, which terrible. Is crazy because he's in Buffalo.
Yeah, booty cheeks. He's had prime time snow games. And he was not good in it. He won against – no, he lost against the Patriots. Yep. They lost against the Patriots, and they lost in this one. So, I think if weather was better, this is definitely a different game. I do think it's a different game. But that – yeah. That was crazy. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Either way,
I think San Fran's defense is just better than Buffalo's and better than Cincinnati.
Oh, well, yeah. I would
agree. I think the two best defenses in the playoffs are
the Eagles and the Niners.
Yeah, they're still in the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eagles and Niners.
Chiefs
are a sleeper defense team, but yeah.
Especially with Chris Jones. I mean, mm-hmm. when he turned it on, he, like, Trevor Lawrence didn't stand a chance.
Yeah, and Willie Gay, too. He's nice.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, so I think that, you know, shout-out to Trevor Lawrence. Shout-out to the Jags for, you know, firing Urban Meyer and getting a good coach.
He's like, a good coach.
He's an adult in the room.
Yeah, and like, it's crazy because, I still think Mike Tomlin should win Coach of the Year, but they're probably going to give it to Dougie because – they were 3-something last year, and they started off terrible and still made the playoffs, even though the AFC South kind of stinks. So,
and then, but they also won a playoff game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can see. I'm not mad. I mean, at the end of the day, like, Doug Peterson probably still is in Philly, if not for Carson. Like, Carson Wentz got him fired.
And it's sad because it's like, I think they both kind of ruined their career in Philly.
And Carson Wentz also got Frank Reich fired. who was in Philly at the time with them. So yeah. Carson Wentz is just doing numbers.
I really do feel bad with having a Carson Wentz career because he was actually good. And like that one injury kind of just ruined it all.
Yeah. I don't know, man. He just – that he is an example – like, I don't say this negatively, right? It's just kind of a statement. He is an example of what happens when you're not mentally tough. Like when injuries, the media, teammates, things like that, just like it takes a lot. Like he has the talent, and it's in his head, and there's a lot of reports about it, about him like rubbing teammates. It's just like, I just don't think that he believes in himself.
I think it's not a negative thing to say that because this is a sport.
And that's why they have sports psychologists and things like that. Yeah. I'm not dogging them for it. Yeah, you just
have to be because it's a sport where you're in a spotlight and people, especially playing quarterback.
Yeah, like you have
to. It's a pressure thing. So there's nothing wrong with saying that, and I can agree. I'm not mad at that.
It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. So. Mm-hmm. What else? Cincy beats the Bills.
We talked about that.
Smacked them. Smacked them.
Yeah, that was crazy.
At the end of the day, smacked them. Joe Burrow.
I'm actually glad I missed the time to bet on that one because I would have immediately went, oh, this is not gonna work. Whatever I bet. Wow, tragic, but.
Yeah, I will say, like, I don't know. You know, I don't know what Cincy is in the long term, but what I will say is Joe Burrow's always going to give him a chance.
I think they're going to be a contender type of team. That's
for a while.
Somebody did talk about. Like what they were in the 2010s. They're a name that were up there for a minute.
And people like to forget that, but... So I have a question, and I don't want to get stuck on it because we have a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah.
So we just named them, right? Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to take out Justin Herbert because the Chargers never win, and I know he's probably your least favorite of all of them. Let's go with those five. And I'm going to put it this way. Peyton Manning, Eli Manning-ish, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers.
Aaron Rodgers.
They're all a little, yeah, true, but they're all a little older than Aaron, and Aaron's a loser.
Well, Aaron came out the year or two after. It wasn't that much longer.
Okay, so, okay, we'll see.
like Philip Rivers, so, Eli, and Ben.
That's right. They are relatively, you're right.
Yeah.
I always forget that.
It wasn't that much longer, yeah. It just, remember, Aaron had to wait a year or two.
Yeah.
That's why.
So, all of those quarterbacks were in the league at the same time. Not everyone could win a ring. Philip Rivers never got one.
Nope.
Drew Brees got one because of the hurricane, if we're going to be honest. He was not going to win one either.
They gave him one. Yep.
So, coupling it that way, who of these five doesn't win a ring in their career? Or six?
Well, we can already take
someone's not going to win. Yep.
It's going to be Lamar.
Oh, that I hate to say it, but you're probably right. Gonna be Lamar. I don't think Justin Herbert wins one either.
Oh God, no. That's just. I think there's something over. There's a cloud over the Chargers. But yeah, so
do you think Cincy can realistically? Like, I mean, I just said I would take
if the Cowboys find a way to win this game, right, with the time left, and then beat Philly, and go to the Super Bowl, they could beat the
Cincy by
Dallas. They could beat Dallas. Yeah. I do give Cincy a chance to win the Super Bowl, but I think because Aaron only got one, Philip only got one. I think Cincy might.
Philip doesn't have one.
No, I Drew, my bad, Drew.
Yeah.
I think Joe might have one and then never see it again.
I could see that, and it could be this year.
It
could
be this year, yeah. I also think, all right, so I think it might be Lamar, Justin Herbert, just because Justin Herbert might be a tier below, which is crazy because I see Justin Herbert having the type of career in the media where it's like Big Ben's, but Big Ben has two.
Yeah, he does.
Big Ben, I think Big Ben was overlooked in that era because I think Big Ben's better than Eli, but Eli was talked about a lot more.
Yeah, I give you that. Mm-hmm. It's just
matter of fact, Philip Rivers was talked more about Ben, and Ben was better than him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Ben got hurt with two things. One, obviously, he's a rapist. Two, we do this thing in sports, and I don't understand it, especially because we don't do it with Tom Brady.
Nope.
But we do this thing in sports where if you have too much help, they discredit it. Mm-hmm. And we somehow forget that Tom Brady Rob Gronkowski, the greatest tight end of all time, had Randy Moss, the greatest wide receiver of all time,
and they lost.
Bill Belichick, one of the greatest coaches of all time. Mm-hmm. We forget that he had all of these guys on Jared Mayo and all these guys on defense and things like. Literally, someone did this stat, this article, where they looked at quarterbacks with the most help, and Tom Brady had the most help of all quarterbacks. So we. Taking him out the picture because nobody ever talks about how much help that he got. I think the rapey thing and that they like to ignore because he had Bill Cowher, because he had Troy Polamalu, Hines Ward. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. It wasn't Ben. He had the three Bs, but he didn't win with them, but he had the three Bs and like all this kind of stuff. It's like, oh, he had all this help. But it's like, you don't say that about nobody else.
Yeah.
And for like the last 4 years, everyone that Peyton Manning has played with has been up for the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Peyton, Reggie, Marvin, Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis, Bob Sanders would have been a Hall of Famer if he didn't get injured. Mm-hmm. Like all of these guys are up for the Hall of Fame, and like we don't have that really. So it's just like, yeah, I think I don't know what it is. I don't know. If it's a Steeler, like a Pittsburgh thing.
It's got to be. Because there'd be times like Ben would be there, Ben wouldn't be talked about, but he'd be like third in the league in passing. He'd be like fourth in the league in touchdowns. But no one was the most. It was weird. It was always weird. But yeah, I think it'd probably be either Josh Allen or Lamar that won't get a ring. Justin Herbert.
I don't think
Justin Herbert will win one just because it's like one of those teams where like they'll be like the Indiana Pacers. We'll make the playoffs. But that's about it.
Yeah, there's something about Josh Allen that I'm not going to take the time to get into now. I don't believe in him. oh God.
No, for real. He said there's something.
But do you not agree?
I see what you mean. I believe in him, but I understand what you mean. I do get it.
I don't know. Like, I believe in his talent. Like Josh Allen is Dame Lillard.
Yeah,
he's gonna win. He's gonna make it to the playoffs. He's gonna stay in Buffalo.
He'll win an MVP or two, but that's about it.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's crazy. Or it could just end up one day. It'd be like the Bills in the 90s. Eventually do it. They just did it,
but then they don't win because they didn't win.
No, they did win. They did win one. They won one. Kelly has won. John Kelly has won. That's his name, right? I forgot who played quarterback for them.
Okay, so is that separate from then the two or three times that they went and lost in a row?
No. It was that run. I think it was during that run.
Are you sure he has won? I'm pretty sure they never won one in that run.
But went to four straight.
But I think they lost all of them.
I think you're right. Oh, I don't know my football, and I should.
All right, hold on. They don't. They've never won one.
Okay.
They're 0-4.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus, that's miserable.
Okay, so maybe it could be like that because I was gonna be like, that's the Denver Broncos that was like they went, and then finally won.
I think so. Yeah. All right. So anyway, we can get off the NFL. We're gonna take a quick break. 49ers and Cowboys is happening right now, and Dak just tried to throw another interception because he's not serious, and that would have been a pick six. Boy, that would have been a pick six. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will get we'll get into our tiers. We also spent way too much time on other stuff because now we have like 40 minutes to get into the tiers, and that was supposed to be the highlight of the show. Mm-hmm. We might need to flip this. We might need to talk about the Big Ten first and then do the other stuff because it's always like, oh, let's just get this stuff out the way, and then we'll get to the Big Ten, and then we never leave enough time. So we might have to flip this. Yeah, I think we'll flip it from now on. Anyway, we're gonna take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to Landgraf Holyland's I-70 Football Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jordan. I'm here with my co-host, Dante.
Who's still dying from trying to drink water.
it kills you. speaking of drinking water, there's like this weird thing that happens when you're an adult, and it's that you like certain things make you happy. Oh, I got a new water bottle. And this is like,
that thing sounds solid. Good Lord.
Yeah, it's solid. And here's why I got a new water bottle. Because my fiance keeps stealing mine.
They take your clothes, take your food, and take your water bottles. Ain't that crazy?
I hadn't been drinking as much water because I was drinking these little pencil thin. Like mm-hmm. They're pretty tall, but they're like pencil. They don't really hold no water.
Right.
Like it's barely over a glass of water, but they're supposed to be like insulated. And they always have like the little screw tops that like screw into them. You mm-hmm. know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Which I'm being real descriptive with water bottles. Well, she went through a phase where she bought a bunch of those. Mm. And I was drinking out of those, but like they ain't got no water in them. Right. So I wasn't really drinking water. So I got me a new water bottle. And this is the stupid shit that you get happy about when you turn fucking 28. Because like, I was like, oh yeah, you go into Target, grab me a water bottle. Like I need a new water bottle. So yeah. Never thought I'd be happy.
Target sponsor us.
But here I am. Please. Anyway, so we're going to get into our tiers. This tier one, we're going to, by the time we do this in August, we're going to have names for our tiers because I just don't like the current names that we have. So if you have any ideas for the tiers, listeners, please let us know. But for this, we're just going to do tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four. Tier one is going to be Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. And that brings us to an interesting conversation before we start. I wanted to have this very quickly on the podcast. How do you define tiers? It's very interesting, right? Because if you define them right, like if you're doing like levels or whatever, you could easily say it's Ohio State, Michigan, pause. Or if you want to put Michigan first, either way, it's Michigan, Ohio State. And then there's a stop. And then it's Penn State. And then there's a stop.
Yeah.
It was Penn State and Wisconsin, but currently it's Penn State. And then there's a stop. And then there's everyone else. Like, Penn State's in a tier of its own, but are they really with Ohio State and Michigan? And the reason why I say that is, when's the last time they beat either of them?
Which is fair. But looking at Ohio State, Penn State this past season, 11-2 and 11-2.
Right. And that's why for this, the way that we do this, they're in the tier, mm-hmm. technically.
They're only because first the other of all, team we're only in the Big four Ten. Tiers. Yeah, but they're the only other team in the Big Ten that have double digit wins.
Exactly. That is true. Mm-hmm. That is very true. So it's like for the way we're doing this show, they deserve to be in the tier. Yeah. But in the overall concept of the Big Ten, it's like they're kind of really in their own tier. Like they're not on the same tier as like Minnesota and them, but they're not really on the tier with Ohio State and Michigan because they can't beat them and they haven't beat them in a while. And until they beat them,
they give them good games, but that's about it.
I see. So there's a line of demarcation between them. But, and this, again, they're the only team in double digits. There's a crazy drop off after this. So
yeah,
just to break it down, what we're going to do, we're just going to give our thoughts, games, whatever, kind of however we want to break it down. We're going to look at the stat leaders. Again, we're trying to get better as a podcast, so this is something that I came up with. We're going to look at the stat leaders, quarterback, wide receiver, running back. We're going to look at total offense, total defense. I understand that total offense, total defense is not really the best way to look at teams, but I was not pulling up the nitty-gritty stats, and I'm definitely not using EPA. I don't even know how to find that. I think you have to actually legitimately work and things to find that, and I just don't care that much, if we're being honest. Total offense and total defense was the standard for a long time, so we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to use stop rate, which is new, but it is my favorite defensive metric. And as a quick reminder,
it's like, is that getting off the field on third down?
No, it's in general.
Oh, okay.
It's any drive that ends in no points. A turnover, okay,
got you.
Anything where they don't score. I don't know if missed field goals count, to be completely honest, but I think it might. It's which really wouldn't be on the defense, but it's any drive that doesn't end in points. So punt, turnover on downs, takeaway, anything like that.
Okay.
So it's just the percentage of times that people don't score on you.
Got you.
Which is the most simple way to look at defense. How often do you give up points?
Fair enough.
So we're going to look at that for all of them as to kind of compare, just give us some things to talk about. But most of it, as this entire show typically is, it's just going to be us talking about things that we liked, disliked, and just kind of remembering the season, because that's the fun part before we get into the nitty-gritty of the offseason. This will last 4 weeks because there's four tiers. By the time it's done, we should be around, if not exactly, in fall camp. So we should have some, hopefully, some news. All the staff should be done, that kind of stuff. So it'll, you know, it also helps with getting through the boring part of the offseason. January to like March is the boring part of the offseason. There's really not much going on. Everyone's just doing their winter workouts and nobody's talking about anything. So, Dante, where do you want to start? Do you want to start at the bottom and work our way up, or do you want to start with Michigan and work our way down?
We can start with you forgot to put the Penn State quarterback's name.
Actually, you forgot to put all the names.
Yeah,
yeah, I was. Yeah, I'm tripping. This was a lot of work. I'm not even gonna hold you.
Oh, so. I feel it. But we can start with Penn State and go up. All
right, that's cool. So, Penn State finished the year 11-2. They were 7-2 in conference. Their only losses being to Ohio State and Michigan. They won the Rose Bowl against Utah, which is how they got their 11th win. Yep. Overall, a pretty good season. Really? Okay, so that's not okay. That's a really good season for Penn State.
No, they had a really good season.
Yeah, they had a really good season, a very good bounce back season. We kind of went into this not really sure how to feel about Penn State. They hadn't looked great the last couple seasons. They were replacing a defensive coordinator. They were really, really young in a lot of areas. They lost Jahan Dotson to the pros. Sean Clifford was there for the 17th year, and nobody likes him. Dante likes him more than me, but like, who really, really believed in him? A whole lot. And so it's just like, we didn't really know how to feel about them. The one thing I should have done is I should have put the comparison of where we thought they were going to be, because we did that last year. So let me pull that up really quickly. But yeah, we were kind of back and forth just behind the curtain. We were kind of back and forth on where we thought they were going to be this year, and how many wins and losses that they were going to have. So this was a really good season, a really good bounce back season. We're not going to talk much about the future, but this season laid the groundwork where Penn State feels very, very high about where they're going. So do you, I guess, where do you want to start with Penn State? Do you want to talk about the, do you want to start with their freshmen, or do you, who kind of led the team and kind of like started this resurgence? Or do you want to start with Sean Clifford playing his millionth season?
We can start with Sean. Let's start with Sean. Cause I think Sean had an actually pretty good season in overall, you know, decent numbers and stuff like that. But during certain games, he didn't play. They played Minnesota, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I don't think he played that game, though.
I don't think he got injured this year. Like, not where he missed a game. He did last year, though.
I know last year. Okay, true. So, I know the game against Ohio State, he had a pretty good game, actually.
Yep.
They actually played pretty well as a whole. They just that safety, that stupid safety blitz. Like, I don't think I'll ever forget a play like that. Like, it was just... You really just didn't have to do it. And I get what they were trying to do. Like, you know, they were playing a solid game all game. It was like, let's throw Ohio State off their rocker by throwing a blitz real quick. But it was really unnecessary. But other than that, they had a good game.
Same thing with Michigan. They played Michigan tight. They played Ohio State tighter for a little longer.
Yeah.
But they played Michigan tight for a half. I believe they were leading at half, or at least like
within a couple points. It was really close. I think they had a 3-point lead going into the halftime.
I think that sounds right. And then they just kind of lost it.
Yeah, I think Michigan just started running the ball.
Which, I mean, we'll get to Michigan, but they kind of did that to everyone. Yep. Battle of attrition. Mm-hmm. They just kind of started laying on people.
Yep.
Yeah,
Penn State was doing to everybody else. I remember they did it to Minnesota. They eventually did it to Illinois, I believe, they played this season. Michigan State, they leaned on them. It was a good year. And I think John Clifford had a pretty decent year. Almost 3,000 yards passing, which isn't bad. 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I expected him to actually have more interceptions, actually, and I thought he had more than 7. So not a bad season.
Yeah,
not a great season. No one's saying great, but it wasn't a bad season.
Especially I think the thing wins. With John Clifford and some of the other quarterbacks in the Big Ten is they're okay. Yeah. But it's like to reach the level that you want to reach, you need like, you know. But it's crazy though, because you'll have the ACC and they'll have these quarterbacks who like they'll have 3, 4, 5 quarterbacks who are throwing for 3,500 yards.
But then
when they play Penn State, they lose. Yeah. So it's like it's not just built on, you know, quarterback stats and things like that. But these guys really aren't kind of dynamic when it matters.
And I think the Big Ten as a style of football all around is different than the ACC. The ACC is a more fast-paced, throw-the-ball kind of conference.
For sure.
Whereas in the Big Ten, there's hard nose and you kind of have to be since it's cold almost everywhere where you're playing. I think actually everywhere you're playing in the Big Ten is going to be cold.
So, until USC and UCLA come in.
True.
Oh, so, boy, getting that USC-UCLA game in November, whoever gets that, they're going to love that.
And they're probably going to lose that game. Because they're going to be so, like, you know, relaxed at the fact that, you know, it's probably 70 degrees instead of 30.
I would lose that game because I'd be on the beach. But
somebody, know, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. They're going to Cali. They got all the fake girls. So, and I'm not saying that like fake bodies, like they, you know, kids get stupid. So
yeah.
Especially if it's like somebody like, I think Wisconsin probably loses that game, something like that. Like people like that. I don't think Ohio State will. Michigan definitely will. Not.
I could see that for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So we both had them at 8-4. So they definitely exceeded our expectations. Two extra games. Who did we have them losing to? So I had them losing to. Oh, I had them losing 3 straight. I had them losing to Michigan, Minnesota, and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. And I think I had the same thing.
Nope. You had them beating Michigan and losing to Auburn.
True.
And then we both had them losing to Michigan State because somehow we were high on Michigan State.
No, I think I wasn't high. I wasn't high on Michigan State. I was just low on Penn State winning that game because it's a game that they'll be stupid enough to lose because they lost a few games. But since they only lost those 2 games, it made sense that they ended up like spanking them.
And I mean, Michigan State was just booty this year. Just
also true, and real bad on defense, like real
very, bad. Very, very bad. So okay, so you already You already did Sean Clifford's stats. We can go ahead and transition to the freshman a little bit because this next player is a freshman. I don't want to look at the year. I can just tell you that this is the first time Penn State's had a 1,000-yard rusher since Saquon Barkley, which shouldn't be happening at Michigan. He was barely over 1,000, but they also kind of had a two-back system, so it's still good. Nick Singleton.
TDs ain't bad, too.
Not at all. Nick Singleton, five-star freshman running back out of wherever the hell he came from, came in and rushed for 1,061 yards, 12 touchdowns, averaged 6.8 yards per carry. They kind of like, I hate using this comparison, but it's just the best comparison. They kind of had a USC, Reggie Bush, and what's the other guy's name? Lindell White kind of style. Obviously, Nick Singleton is not Reggie and the other guy, Katron Allen. No, that's the guy that transferred. What is the other freshman's name? I really should have pulled up the roster. I do so much of this off of memory because I do tend to remember a lot of this stuff because I'm a sicko, and then I forget like certain things. Who is this other freshman? Kayvon Lee. Kayvon Lee is not.
I would have never guessed that.
So they had a kind of good two back system. Nick Singleton's kind of the faster, shiftier guy. Kayvon Lee is kind of the more kind of head to the wall kind of a guy. So they have a really good system. But part of the reason that Penn State hadn't been good is because they couldn't run the ball. And I wasn't going to predict that they were going to be able to run the ball because we hadn't seen them run the ball. So why would I predict that they were going to do it if they hadn't done it in like since
especially in 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah. But that is the, you know, they went out and they got five-star freshmen because they're able to do that because they're Penn State. And he was a hit immediately. And so, what did I say? Kayvon Lee? Is that what I said?
Yeah.
I was right the first time and I actually did know his name. Katron Allen is the freshman. Kayvon Lee is the senior or junior, whoever, who was their starting running back the last 2 years, who was Booty, and he's in the transfer portal. I should have trusted myself. I did have his name right.
Where are you transferring to, sir?
Who knows? Katron Allen is the other freshman. He rushed for 867 yards and 10 touchdowns. So between the two freshman running backs,
almost
they had 1,900 yards and 22 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's not bad. So as an offense,
that's a 10-win season. That's an 11-win season.
As an offense, that's 46 touchdowns. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Between the running backs and the quarterback. Yeah, so that's pretty solid. Having two freshmen almost hit 1,000 yards is really good. So
For a team we didn't think could run the ball, and we should have been prepared. I think that offensive line kept being reminded that they couldn't run the ball the past few years.
Yeah, I still don't think they were that good, but their tackle stud. We talked about it before. He was going to be the number one tackle in the draft, but he's like literally 18 or 19, and he was like, "Nah, fam, I'm gonna go back to school for a year," which is fine. Yeah. Typically, that doesn't work out for most players, but he's like 19. It's like I wouldn't want to be in the NFL at 19. I can't believe they let that happen in basketball, and that's why kids be acting in basketball when they come into the league at
19. Yeah, mentally, I get it, but some of these players do be NBA ready for real.
For sure. I mean, Jason Tatum, baller. Yeah. Even LaMelo was hooping as soon as he came in. Who's the rookie this year? Either way, don't matter.
Pablo.
A lot of these dudes, they be ready. They be hooping. Yeah. So, real big with the running game. Their biggest flaw was in their wide receiver core. Parker Washington, number one wide receiver, 611 yards, 2 touchdowns, nothing special. That's going to have to be fixed next year for them. They were 34th in the country in offense, is respectable, 17th in total defense, which is even better, and they were 5th in stop rate. Whew. And stop rate is, again, the better metric, in my opinion. Their defense was balling. Yeah, now, like I said, we're not going to talk too much about next year until we get to that point, but they are losing a lot of people on that defense, so that's something to think about. But, yeah, I mean, 11-2.
And they're getting a new quarterback as well, right? Because Cliff is done now.
Yeah, for sure. So, 11-2, you played Ohio State and Michigan close for a while. You beat up on everybody else. You separated yourself as the class of the Big Ten. You put yourself in this tier. And as your coach said a couple years ago, the difference between good and great is harder than the difference between okay and good. That's not exactly what he said, but difference between great and excellent. Either way, I don't remember how he said it, so I'm going to make it my own. The difference between great and excellent is harder than the difference between good and great.
Right.
So right now, I would say that they're a great program. They're a great team. They have a great history. They're going to beat 80 to 90% of everyone in the country, including SEC teams. I don't give a fuck what y'all have to say, but they are
depends
not
on the SEC
excellent.
Team, but yeah.
They're not excellent. They're not Ohio State. They're not Michigan. They're not Georgia. They're not Bama. And that's the level that they're trying to get to. So they have some things to work on. But I think good year. Great year.
Yeah,
great 11-2, Rose Bowl win. What can you complain about? All right. So let's move on to Ohio State. Ohio State, great year. Ohio State fans are just never going to be happy, myself included. I'm not nearly as sick as some of them are, but
it is a great year, but compared
to expectations, the Alabama, Georgia, so it's kind of like, you know,
it was a great year, but compared to expectations,
it kind of fell a little short.
Yeah.
So Ohio State loses to Michigan second year in a row, loses the Big Ten second year in a row. Ends the year 11-2, 8-1. They make the playoffs. They are literally a field goal kick away from making the national championship, and they won the national championship.
Right.
But that does not matter.
From winning it
again, they would have won if they played TCU.
Oh,
yeah. So they, just kind of heartbreaking because they went toe to toe with what people think is the best team in the country. And this is what I'm going to say. Georgia is not Bama. I know they won back-to-back, but there are more flaws in this team than there were in Bama's run. And I don't go into next season, just like I didn't go into this season, thinking that Georgia's invincible. There were some years where Bama felt invincible.
Yep.
Georgia should have got. And if we're going to talk about it, Ohio State lost that game by 1 point. And their best wide receiver was concussed, and they didn't get the penalty that they should have because that was targeting. They didn't get the penalty that would have gave them a touchdown. Their best tight end got injured. Their original best wide receiver didn't play all season.
And
their best running back didn't play in the game. The running back who did play was hobbled, and they were within 1 point of Georgia.
About winning championships. There's a lot of luck. There's a lot of luck that goes into winning a championship.
Like Georgia's best wide receiver missing almost the whole season, but then coming being healthy for the championship for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Happens.
There's a lot of luck that goes into it.
It just happens. So, but overall, good year. Yeah. And for me as a fan, the thing that I couldn't have is we go and get blown out by Georgia. I just couldn't have that. And so this keeps me in the mindset of we have some things to work on, yes, but we are still in the upper echelon. We should still be mentioned with Alabama, Georgia. Like, we should still be mentioned over Texas and USC currently. Like, right? Like, we're still in that tier. I think we're Penn State and the national. It's Georgia, Alabama, break. Ohio State, break. Everyone else. Maybe you put Michigan in there.
I was going to say, for the past two years.
Break. Everyone else.
Because if we're going off of last year, it's
right.
Yeah.
Right. So, and like the national conversation. Mm-hmm. So, like, we're the Penn State of that kind of, like, we're better than everyone else. Michigan has brought their way to that level. But, you know, whatever. So, overall, good year. CJ Stroud, excellent again. Two-time Heisman finisher, 3,000, 340 yards, 37 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 66 completion percentage. Just excellent. One of the best quarterbacks in the country. One of the best quarterbacks in Ohio State history. And they're doing the racist thing in the NFL draft. So love that for him. Maybe it works out because he doesn't get to the freaking Texans or whatever. But, like, you can't tell me that Will Levis is better than him. Running back kind of...
I think it depends on scheme and stuff, but yeah, I don't. I hope he doesn't fall. I hope he doesn't go to the Texans because, like, I don't think the Texans want to be a good franchise.
No, they don't. And that you can tell with their 2 1-year rental as coaches. Right. They're just non-serious franchise. Running back, Mayan Williams, 817 yards, 13 touchdowns, 6.5 yards per carry. Solid, but like...
He was injured.
It's really good. He was injured. That's a, yeah. Like...
He might have been a 1,000-yard rusher himself. But with 13 touchdowns, that's not bad at all. For someone, I think, missed two or three games.
Yeah, and then they some of them count as games played, but he got hurt in them and then didn't play
yeah,
the rest.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I mean, he had a solid year. That's pretty good. He's a junior next year, correct?
Yes. Yep. And he came back. He's technically a senior. He was at draft eligible this year. People thought he was going to go to the draft.
I didn't know transfer. He was.
Yeah. So this is technically their backup running back. Right. The guy you're thinking about is a junior next year.
Okay.
But he was more injured than Mayan was, so he has even less games played. Travion Henderson only played in 8 games, where Mayan played in 10. Travion Henderson rushed for 571 yards and 6 touchdowns at 5.3 yards per carry. He only played 8 games, so... Yeah, so, I mean, it's pretty solid still, especially with the injuries. Ohio State was hit with the injuries all year.
Yeah.
Marvin
and
Harrison.
Injuries on the defense. And,
yeah.
And Marvin Harrison got injured.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in the game where they didn't call him, but whatever. Marvin Harrison Jr., 1,157 yards, 12 touchdowns, 16.1 yards per catch. He's the best wide receiver in the country. I can't explain why he didn't win the Biletnikoff Award, and I don't even want to pretend to try, except that the people who vote don't understand football. They never have, they never will, and so they're always going to get these things wrong, and ultimately, this is why you don't, like, it's college, so it's not tied to, like, contracts and things like that, but it is in the NFL, and this is why you don't tie things to media-voted awards, because they're stupid.
Yeah, that's fair.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Ohio State finished number 9 total offense, number 14 in total defense, which is a major increase from where they were last year.
Yeah,
and they were 10th in stop rate. Ohio State was top 5 in stop rate all year, but their defense ran into two teams at the end against Michigan and Georgia, and so that kind of dropped it. But you watch those games where they give up a lot of points and they still end at 10, that shows what the defense was, and that shows progress. And that's really what it's about, right? Ohio State enters this year with an entirely new defensive staff, except for the defensive line coach, Larry Johnson. No one fires him. Jim Knowles, they stole from Oklahoma State. They hired Perry Eliano from Cincinnati, and then they took Tim Walton, who needs to be fired. They took him from somewhere in the NFL. Totally new defensive staff, totally new defense.
He already needs to be fired after 1 year.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. Jeez. Totally new defense, a much harder defense at that. And there was marketed improvement. And I think when you do new things, right, when it gets tough, sometimes you revert to the old. And I think that's kind of what happened at the end of the season. But it gives confidence. And I honestly think it should be a little scary for teams going into year 2. Because it's like, if he can make this improvement in year 1, what is he going to do in year 2, especially when almost all of these players come back? That's a future conversation that we're not going to get into. But I think that while their defense wasn't perfect, it wasn't great all year long, that they were closer to the level of what Ohio State needed. And except for 1 or 2 plays, they were good enough to have beat Georgia. Like, the long touchdown that they gave up, it's just a matter of the roster. The guy who gave up that touchdown, and I've been saying this for years, he was one of the best players on our team all year, on our defense all year. He cannot play in man coverage. That is his biggest flaw.
And man coverage is really difficult, man.
It's really difficult, especially for a true safety. He's not a corner. He shouldn't have been put out on an island. He tripped.
Yeah.
Easy touchdown. That changed the game. So, overall, good season. Losing to Michigan, and especially the way that they did, you can't do that.
That honestly might be the only flaw on the season, because even losing to them is fine, but to lose where it looks like you gave up, like we mentioned before, or a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago now. That's the one stain. That's the one thing I'm very concerned about. And even when it comes to the coaching part, because it's like it just didn't look good. You could have lost that game where if they didn't even give up those last two touchdowns, you were still going to lose the game regardless, and that would have been fine. But those last two touchdowns is just that's the only thing that's worrisome. Is that again, when push comes to shove, are you going to fold?
Yeah, and you know, so we'll see. That's a future conversation. But overall, a lot of good things. Yeah, very good. Especially dealing with a lot of what they dealt with. I mean, they played with like five or six running backs. Multiple of them walk-ons. They played with at least three walk-ons or former walk-ons. So it's just walk-ons. Great, absolutely great for them. But it's just like, that's just how the injuries were. That's just how this season kind of went. So I'm really excited to talk about Ohio State this offseason when we get to it, because new quarterback, second year of the defense, third year of certain players, but there's also big questions with the offensive line. So there's going to be a lot to talk about with them. But I don't know that I have anything else to say about them. This essentially, they met their standard, except for the Michigan game. Yeah. I will not say that they redeemed themselves against Georgia, because
you have to redeem yourself against Michigan.
You can't redeem yourself against someone else. Like, that's not how it works. So
it just makes me feel like, okay, you're tough against everyone else until it's them.
Right. And that's a problem. So that is what it is. Do you have any final thoughts on that?
Like you said, I total defense being 14 is a great improvement, because I think they were like top 20 there or top 30 last year. They were like 25 or something like that.
No, they were no higher than 30. I think they were mid to late 30s or 40s.
Oh, okay. So that's even more impressive jump than I thought, because I thought they were like 25, 27. Okay, so yeah, 14 is amazing. Total offense being ninth is actually a little lower on the number than I thought. I thought they might be like sixth or something like that, because they moved the ball. They moved the ball to score, so I thought they might be a little higher than that.
Which offensive stats you want is weird, because if you use points per game, I think they're one or two.
I give you that. Yeah, that makes sense. Great year. You got a great freshman, Harrison Jr., right?
Second year, sophomore.
Second year, sophomore.
But this is his first year of, you know,
being the man.
Yeah.
Okay, so stepped up to the plate there. CJ Stroud, like you said, had a great year. I didn't like what he said about his legacy isn't tarnished because he never beat Michigan. Don't like that. But because it's like, that's the whole thing, bro.
Yeah. Especially at Ohio State. Like that, yeah, like that.
There's a thing. There's a culture there. And you decided to be a part of that. So I don't like that. But I guess now that you're done, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Ohio State was number two in points per game, by the way.
Makes sense. That makes sense. Who the hell was number one?
Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 That's the thing, man, with CJ Stroud. It's just like, you look at it positively, negatively. it's great for him as a person in his life.
It's almost a reflection of Ryan Day.
No, I don't think it is that at all, because the other quarterbacks weren't like that. I think it's a reflection of his life. So, like, again, I
hate getting
personal with these people, like I know him, but like when you grow up and your dad gets 30 years when you're 13 and you have to grind your way through all these camps and you're almost homeless and all these other kind of stuff, like, do you really care about a loss? Like, you have so much life and perspective and you've beaten so many odds to get to where you're at. It's just like, it's a football game.
And
that's good for his life and career after football. Kind of reminds me of Andrew Luck without all of the, you know, the trauma and that kind of stuff. Because Andrew Luck did not have that. He grew up rich. But that, I'm fine outside of football. I have other things. That can be positive. Crazy.
I need to send you a video about Andrew Luck. Actually, he was not. he was not. Fine outside of football before until he retired. But
I would know. I read an article where some dude followed him for a while and Andrew was going through it.
Yeah,
Andrew needed to quit
football. He took the architecture mindset of playing a quarterback and put it to his entire life, and that I read that same article. That I was like, poor man, like I get it now.
Very unhappy.
I get it. I see what you mean. It's just as a as an Ohio State player, it's gonna rub people the wrong way. And I don't blame them for not caring. It's just legacy is tied to that. No matter.
100%. It may not be how you view yourself and how you but it is
your Ohio State career will have that dark shadow.
Ultimately 0-2 against Michigan and you didn't win the Big Ten. Like
there's gonna be that dark shadow.
Speaking of Michigan, let's switch over to Michigan. 13-1, 9-0 in conference. Here's the thing I want to start with them. Before we congratulate them and all the things and we talk about them losing to TCU, I want to talk about the quarterback, okay?
Okay.
Look at the stats. Then look at Sean Clifford's stats.
I did. It's not... It's very close. It's extremely close. Two touchdowns. One has two more touchdowns, but also has two more interceptions.
So here's the thing, right? I want to be fair to this. Mm-hmm. Michigan under Jim Harbaugh is always going to be run first.
That's what I was going to say that.
It's not entirely the worst thing. But when you look at what Penn State didn't accomplish under Sean Clifford and why they're so excited for the new quarterback, they couldn't win the big games. Now, under McCarthy, they won one of the big games because they beat Ohio State, and he was integral to that. So I'm not going to put that on him entirely. But what I'm saying is he's five-star quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be, if you listen to people, he's supposed to be a potential high pick next year. Mm-hmm. He is used as well as Caleb Williams and some of these other quarterbacks to say, and they say this every single year, but he's mentioned as in, hey, the 2024 quarterback class is going to be better than 2023. You have McCarthy, you have these other guys. Five-star talent, he was supposed to make all these things, and then you see it and you finally give him the control, and it's just like, he was Sean Clifford.
Yeah, but my thing is,
I don't want my quarterback to be Sean Clifford.
And now my thing is, it's like we're not going to talk about next year, so I'm not even going to give that opinion. But again, he is the starting quarterback for a team who had two really good running backs.
That's fair. Really, and that's why I said I wanted to be a little fair to him because we understand.
Yeah, especially when the offense is predicated around that run game to get almost 3,000 yards. 22 touchdowns and only throw 5 picks. I promise you, just like with Clifford, I thought he threw more picks.
I didn't. He does not. The one thing I will give him, he does not throw
not turn the ball. He does turn he
does
the ball
not,
over.
He I does not turn the ball him. Over. I will always
and I
give
think,
him that.
And I think that might be the most important part about being a quarterback.
If it's not the most important, it's close.
It's close. And I like that. If you can get me 13-1 and almost winning a championship with 2,700 yards and 22 touchdowns and only 5 picks, you could get drafted doing that. Because then it's like, at least, okay, you're not flashy, but you definitely won't lose this game.
Yeah, but so here's where the problem
is. Like with Dak, Dak's flashy, but he'll lose you a game.
Yeah, but here's where the problem comes in. Mm-hmm. You don't win games either. And he won the Ohio State game. I will always give him that. I'm not going to take that away. I always have to.
They almost won the TCU game, too. He
was coming back. Not because of him. He did not play well against TCU.
No, he didn't.
I think, I hate to say this. Let me, I'm not even
going to. I think they overlooked TCU.
I'm not even going to give you my opinion. I'm just going to ask. Same team, same scenario. Sean Clifford as quarterback. Does Michigan beat TCU?
No.
I disagree.
Okay. No.
Think about it. You just talked about how Sean Clifford played in big games, how he played against Ohio State. You remember the Purdue game-winning drive at the beginning of the season?
The reason why
I think Sean Clifford wins that game.
The reason why I say
he also doesn't throw two pick sixes, by the way.
He throws one?
Actually, I'm not even going to pretend I like Sean Clifford. He might, but he don't throw two. I think Michigan wins that game if Sean Clifford's their quarterback. And y'all know how I feel about Sean Clifford.
I think TCU still puts up points on Michigan's defense like it did. Regardless.
But putting up points, but part of those points is two pick sixes.
I know, but I said he throws one. So all TCU guys needs one extra touchdown, which I think they could do.
I don't know. I think they win the game with Sean Clifford. And so it's hard. Like, I'm not impressed. And
I think he'll have a better year next year. That's why I was like, I didn't want to really say that. But I think
this article just came out, and I wrote this, and I said it. He should go into the season as the best quarterback in the Big Ten. He should be expected to be a Heisman finalist. He should be all of these things.
I don't know about
that. I don't know that I believe that he can do that, though.
I don't think he should be a Heisman finalist because of how they run their offense.
That's fair. That's okay. Yeah.
I don't think he's always going to have enough stats because of how they run their offense to get be considered in an award.
See, but
The only thing I could say like it'd be different is if he starts off like hot as hell and then they change their scheme on offense.
Well, the thing is, Jim Harbaugh was the coach with Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck was a Heisman finalist, so he has it in him. If the quarterback is, and I know he's not Andrew Luck. What I'm saying is Jim
Andrew
Harbaugh
Luck
has
a Hall
it.
Of Famer,
and,
I swear to God.
I don't even want to get into that because comparing people to Andrew Luck and these guys, that's just not even fair. That wasn't my intention. Just more that Jim can change his offense if he.
Yeah,
really
that's what I'm saying. Much. I was like, I feel like if McCarthy starts out hot and he looks like he's handling himself, I do think they'll probably go more to passing than running in that game. And then there'll be certain games where you'll be like, oh, they're gonna run this ball, and that's what like how Michigan State did 2 years ago. And it was like they threw the ball, and then one game, I think it was Michigan, they ran the ball a lot, and then it was in big moments they threw it. But to get back in that game, they ran the ball.
Yeah. So I'm not super impressed with McCarthy. We'll see. Again, we're not talking about the future. We'll see what the future holds.
I wouldn't say but, super impressed, but I think it was an impressive year for a type of offense. They're running but Crum had 1,400 yards. And the other one probably had, what, 800 yards?
Yeah, I think he had more than that. I'll get to that in a second. This is the thing that I'll say. And I know that this is not entirely fair because you can only really talk about what they did. You also got to remember that Michigan had a crazy easy schedule and didn't play anyone all year. And I don't think he did anything this year except Ohio State. Just except Ohio State, where I felt like he would have won the game if they needed him to. And the only game that they needed him to win, he lost.
Yeah. I think he played well against Penn State, too. I have to go back and watch.
That was the running game.
That was the running game picked that up.
I don't think, regardless, I don't want to shit on the kid too much. He's just not really my style of quarterback, and I think
I don't think he's flashy, but I think he can be good enough to
win. I think he wants to be flashy, and he's just not that good.
Oh, you don't need to do that.
Like, when you hear him talk and the things that he says, I think he thinks that he's better than he is. Yeah, anyway, especially like, the wave playoff off stuff, yeah.
No,
yeah.
No. When he waved off Ohio State.
Yeah. So, Corum, 1,463 yards, 18 touchdowns, and he missed games? Fucking ridiculous. Donovan Edwards, 991 yards and 7 touchdowns. Just
only 7?
Yeah, I mean, that's Blake Corum had 18.
I know. It's like
he's
probably had more than seven. Yo, I hope you make a Lakers, a for real Lakers bet, because this is nuts. Or at least you bet on Anthony Simons going for 30.
I didn't bet the Lakers. Oh my god, I just said he wasn't gonna get 20. Oh my god, I might have won something. All right, anyway,
they kicking Michigan's.
Michigan's biggest problem last year and for the past couple years, they just don't have a wide receiver. Their best wide receiver, Ronnie Bell, 889 yards, 4 touchdowns, nothing to write home about. No. You don't, like, it's 2023 and you don't have a wide receiver in the 1,000 yards. It's just, like, it's just, and it would be different if you, like, he was 800 and another dude was 750 and another dude was 7. It's like you're getting the yards, just not one guy standing out. But, like, again, that's not what happened either. Like,
but again, Corum got 1,400. So
yeah, I know. But again, you know, whatever.
It's like we didn't really need a 1,000-yard receiver.
I would argue that you always need one, but you know, whatever. Yeah, it worked. I mean, 13-1. You can't complain.
Like,
so
like that's how I was looking at all of them. Like, we were 13-1.
Yeah. So number 24 in total offense. Number 6 in total defense,
also
and third in stop rate.
Who was second? Just, I know who's first. It's got to be Georgia. Who
no, was Iowa was first. Georgia was second.
Bruh. Iowa defensive players should be hot.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Human, like, bro, I can't score more than 18 points. Like,
absolutely. Georgia.
They had to do it at the end of the year. Like, we'll put up 21, we'll put 27, 28. Like, fuck y'all. Like,
Michigan stopped people on 77% of drives.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Crazy. Yeah. Yeah,
and if Ben is at 76, oh my gosh,
I'd have to pull it up. Was it a Big Ten team? The Big Ten was all over this.
So, I believe it.
Five.
I bet you
Illinois was 4.
Illinois. I was about to say, I bet you Illinois was like probably 15, 4.
Yeah, they were 4. Illinois, their defense was legit all year too.
Yeah.
So, the Big Ten had 1, 3, 4, 5, 10. Yeah, crazy. Nice. And a part of that could be, like, I do hear the argument that some people make that a part of it is the offenses that they play against and things like that.
A lot of the offenses.
I do hear that, but
not
a lot of these defenses electric. Also show up when they play other teams. So it's part of the problem, the offense is bad, is because they have to play these defenses too. Like, it's kind of like what came first, the chicken or the egg? Are the offenses bad because the defense are good, or the defense is good because the offense are bad? A little bit of both. Sprinkle in some weather, you know?
Yeah, because I don't know, because I've seen Northwestern keep a team under 21, and I there's no way I believe Northwestern has a good defense.
Yeah, so
because I'll tell you this: Iowa's offense is just bad. It has nothing to do with other people's defenses.
Yeah, Iowa's offense is piss poor. But I mean, okay, so Michigan. As we wrap up, back to back Big Ten titles, back to back wins against Ohio State. The only question: back to back playoff appearances. The only question is, what is their ceiling? Like it's, you feel like you beat Ohio State back-to-back, you go to the playoffs back-to-back, but you get blown out by Georgia, and then you lose to TCU, who everyone has you beating.
Right.
Can you continue it? Like, we don't have to go far into it, but is Michigan going to win a national championship under Jim Harbaugh? Like, there's nothing else for them to do.
I think the question
is, do they continue or do they regress to where they were and get lapped by Penn State? And you know, so It's very interesting, the future of what Michigan's going to be.
I do believe it's possible. I truly do. I think, especially since the past 2 years of how Jim Harbaugh has been coaching, I truly do believe it's possible. Will it happen? But I think it's... If it happened, I wouldn't be like, holy, Michigan won a championship. You'd be like, okay, finally.
Yeah, I just... I don't know, man. Especially, the TCU thing is kind of coloring some things for me because it's like, I think TCU is the team you should have beat.
You should have been, but I think we underestimate how good TCU actually
is. I didn't. I said TCU could win. Like,
I did. I underestimated how good TCU was.
But the reason why I say it has me questioning things is this. TCU is the team you should have beat. I think Michigan.
I do think the country is becoming more parity, though. So there's that as well.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. But until it becomes even more parity, I don't know that Michigan beats Alabama. I don't know that they beat Georgia. And I don't think if they would have played a second time, that they would have beat Ohio State again. Ohio State to prepare.
Ryan, that one I still don't know. I don't know.
The Ohio State that showed up against Georgia is beating Michigan.
Yeah, but I think the Michigan that showed up against Ohio State shows up against Ohio State again. I don't think Michigan was up for the task. Like they were ready for the game, but they also kind of took TCU a little.
So I'm going to tell you why I disagree. I hear you, but I'm going to tell you why I disagree. I think that it took Ohio State longer to get to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that this is going to be the case this year, but I think in the playoffs, I think Michigan would have underestimated Ohio State too. The way that they were talking, the things that JJ was saying, because even with the possibility of Ohio State, they're like, yeah, get them. We're going to own it. I don't think that they would have taken them serious either. And I think Ohio State would have went out, but they wanted it because they thought it was an easy victory. Mm-hmm. And I say that because of the things that they were saying in the media. And how they were acting about the game, I don't think they beat Ohio State.
But that's also why I think that's why they ended up losing to TCU because they were just so worried about if we get the Ohio State game.
Like, I think that they, whatever was going on in their team this year, they wouldn't have taken a rematch against Ohio State seriously, and they definitely didn't take TCU serious.
No, they were. So, they were too busy worried about Ohio State and if they'll play that rematch, which was funny because it was like, are you sure Ohio State beats Georgia? So like,
and that's an interesting thing for the future because, you know, as we'll get into later on, I have a question about their leadership because they're losing a lot of their leaders. I put that in my article that dropped.
We said that last Sunday year too, though.
I don't think so.
I think I did.
They lost their main leader in Aiden Hutchinson. They didn't lose the leadership because they had a lot of older guys in general.
I think these past 2 years might still produce a leader to take over the next year. And again, Jim Harbaugh is a great college coach. Good NFL coach, great college coach. So I still think there's that factor as well.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think that college even more than the NFL and the leadership of the team matters. And if JJ is the largest voice in the locker room, I'd be a little concerned. And for the past 2 years, he wasn't the largest voice in the locker room. So that's I don't want to stumble.
They got defensive players where I think will probably be more of the speakers of leadership for them.
I think that they lost all the guys that you're thinking about. But
no, I think there was a few young guys on that defense that played with them.
Yeah, but I think, like, you remember sports. How often are your young guys the leaders?
It depends on, like, I get what you mean. But when I say young, like, they're about to be juniors type of thing. Or they're about...
I don't remember. And then I think they're players who are about to be juniors who play a lot are on offense. Their defense was old and really young. Like one of their best returning players that's coming this year is going to be a sophomore. He was a freshman last year that played a lot. Either way, that's a conversation. Like, for, yeah, experience. That's like a conversation that for the off season when we can actually look at the roster and get course, the magazines right. and that kind of stuff. It's just I didn't like the way the year ended for them and the way that they talked and the thing. It gave me
kind of like that wouldn't karma, have, honestly.
Yeah, that wouldn't have happened if Aiden Hutchinson was on the team still. Because he was a stronger leader who was really setting a culture.
And also he would have got like 3 sacks in the season.
I mean, yeah. But ultimately, like, I don't want to end on a sour note with Michigan. They 13-1, back-to-back Big Ten champs, beat Ohio State, made the playoffs. Big, like, big man, that's a, that's the big a great, man
on top right now.
That's a great season, and they're going to go into the offseason with the best, should be the best quarterback in the conference. The best running back in the conference, the best coach in the conference, the best offensive line in the conference.
Illinois might have the best running back in the conference.
He's gone.
Didn't they had a guy under him.
Blake Corum came back.
No, I'm Illinois.
I know, but Blake Corum is better than Illinois' backup.
Blake Corum's coming back?
Yes, we talking about this last week.
I think we did. You're right. Was, you're right. Because we were like, why?
Yeah. So
they do. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have a lot of things going for them going to the off season. Everything's in front of them. Great year. Ultimately, great year. And Jim Harbaugh turning around. So.
Yeah,
I won't say any of the other things I want to say because those are future leaning things.
Right.
I have some concerns about them, but we'll talk about
that. I have concerns for everybody, actually.
Yeah, so. My concerns with Michigan are less roster, more Harbaugh and drama and JJ kind of thing. Stuff that can ruin a special team that should be special. But
yeah.
Either way, that's a March and July and August conversation.
Yeah.
So we're gonna wrap up. Those are the three best teams in the conference, far and away the three best teams in the conference at least in 2022. These are not projections for 2023. We could have all three of them up here next year. We could not. You'll have to wait till August to find that out. But at least
Iowa wins 11 games.
Jesus Christ. But yeah. So as always, thank you for listening. We will be back next week. We will be doing our tier 2 teams. I think the rest of the tiers are going to slightly surprise you on how they've broken down a little bit. This was the easy one because they were the only teams that had 10 plus wins and were clearly the best teams all season. So thanks for listening as always, and we will see you next week.